Bibles turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through verse 20. Verse 15 through verses 20. We talk about false teachers, false prophets today. And listen, Jesus warns us about false teachers. I mean, aggressively warns us about false teachers. Not just a little bit. Aggressively warns us about those who will come into the church to try to preach or teach a gospel that is different than what he gives to us. And there are many today, even on the big stages with huge churches, that are teaching and preaching a gospel that is not what Christ taught. In stockyards, where sheep are brought to slaughter, a rancher will bring a sheep to this catch pen or to this holding pen, and waiting inside of this holding pen is a goat. And once the sheep are there, they're nervous and they're fearful because of a different environment and then the sounds and the smells and noises that are going on. And as the sheep are herded into this holding pen, this goat begins to walk through them. And this goat has a bell on them. You ever heard of a bell cow before? Kind of gets their attention, kind of like their leader. And this goat will go through this crowd of sheep, this flock of sheep, over the next 24 hours that the sheep are there, 48 hours maybe, however long they're in this holding pen. And what he's doing, he's been trained to do, is bring comfort to these sheep. Because they're there and they're fearful. And he's winning over their allegiance, so to speak. At some point, when the slaughterhouse is ready, they'll open a gate on one end of this holding pen. The goat then begins to get excited because he knows maybe there's food or something waiting for him. So then he begins to go through the gate, and all of these sheep, now that he's been their comfort, begin to follow him. And through this chute that he's leading them down, they'll arrive at another gate at the very end. And through that gate, the goat passes. And then he's directed right back out to the catch pen. But the sheep are herded onto the slaughterhouse floor. The goat goes back out to this holding pen, waiting for the next load of sheep to come in. Do you know what the name of that goat is? It's called a Judas goat. Because he wins over their allegiance, and then he betrays them for his own safety and comes back. A little known fact, but this is the way false prophets and false teachers do it. They'll come into a church or they'll begin a ministry and they'll win people's favor. They'll say just enough religious things to make it sound believable. And they're trustworthy. But their end is destruction. Let's see what Jesus warns us about today with false prophets. Identifying these false teachers. I've been known to get people mad. This may be another Sunday that you get mad. But I can live with it because now you have the whole gospel, the true gospel. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through verses 20. 15 through 20. Jesus says in verse 15, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. No grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we look at your word, God, this is an area that the church has been so soft on. In many years, so much has been tolerated and accepted because it sounds so true and so right. And God, what the false prophets have done is just basically built their ministries off of our ignorance. God, help us today to be able to discern your word, and Lord, to discern false prophets in our area and in our social and cultural atmosphere, in our country, in our world, because we base it on your word. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 15, Jesus gives us a stern warning. A stern warning of false teachers. Then in verse 16 through 20, he begins to tell us what to watch out for in the identifying of these false teachers. So the very first word Jesus says in verse 15 is beware. Now, that's probably not a word we use very often anymore, beware. But here Jesus is telling his disciples. Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to his people, the disciples. We saw earlier last week that he marked out two paths, the narrow way and the narrow gate and the broad gate and the broad way. And he's leading us from that into understanding that these false teachers are all over in the broad way, and that we are to leave that and go to the narrow way through Christ alone. Not what false teachers are telling us. So now Jesus saying beware, he wants to tell us about these guys who want to put us on the broad way, who want to lead people down the broad way. In the Greek, beware means to hold your mind back from or to back off. In other words, stay away from them is what Jesus is saying. Stay away from false prophets, false teachers. Stay away from these guys and ladies. These are false teachers. Don't give them the ground in your life. Don't even be around them. Back off from them. These false teachers say what sounds right, but it's false. Man, they can take a passage of Scripture and tell it to people and make it sound, well, that sounds right. God does want me wealthy. God does want me to stay healthy all the time. No, that's not what God's Word's teaching us at all. That we should never be sick. You're going to die one day from something. No, it's not saying all of that. No. And we have to realize that many born-again believers are influenced even today by false teachers. How? Well, they get them thinking on the hearing now. What's important for today? What's important now? And they begin to push off the things about heaven and the things of later. It's all about you. It's about what you want in your life. How for you to be happy right now. You go for it yourself today. Your best life now. You see, that's what false teachers do. Is to get your mind off the eternal and get your mind on just now. Exactly what's going on in your life now. False teacher will sprinkle enough scripture into his teaching that many do not even discern the lies that they perpetuate through their twisting of Scripture and taking it out of context. And it causes great harm to the new believer and to the believer who's not being on guard against such heresy. Listen, we can be born again and on the narrow way, but a lot of these teachers that we're listening to, preachers that we're listening to, sprinkle just enough God's Word in there. If we're not a student of God's Word, we may even believe a lie and take it as the truth. And man, it's an injustice to ourselves. Verse 15 says, beware of the false prophet. So he begins to give us a definition of a false prophet who comes in sheep's clothing. So there's a deception that they have. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. In other words, there's danger. There's destruction with these guys. So Jesus is giving us this definition of a false prophet and the deception and the danger that accommodates them. They want to tear us, the sheep. We're the sheep. We're the flock of Christ. They want to tear us into pieces. Now, we have to understand, in Jesus' day, back in Palestine, the number one enemy of sheep were wolves. And when a shepherd was not doing his job, so to speak, when a shepherd was not paying attention to the sheep, not guarding the sheep, a wolf would slip in, grab one of the lambs and carry them off and literally tear them to shreds. That's why Jesus told Peter after the resurrection. We remember Peter, before he died on Calvary's cross, before Jesus died on the cross, Peter denied Jesus three times. After the resurrection of Christ, he meets up with Peter and he asks him three times. And he tells him this three times. Tend to my sheep in John 21. Shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. Jesus is telling Peter, listen, as a shepherd of a church, you need to pay attention and you need to guard your flock against the heresies that will come. The wolf was very successful when the shepherd was not paying attention. See, when the wolf attacks and grabs a sheep and carries it off, it shreds it. And as a pastor, that's what concerns me, is when people leave out away from the flock and they go out and kind of do their own thing. You know what happens? The wolf comes. Because many people believe anything that's told to them. You know how many false doctrines they can come in with 66 books? Concerns me. See, false prophets are, man, that's just not the real deal. They're fake. False prophets or false teachers. Listen, they're used interchangeably in the New Testament. So let's clarify something very quickly here. The difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet. See, the Old Testament prophet spoke new revelation from God to Israel. Since Scripture is canonized and it's complete, there is nothing added to God's Word. Look at Revelation 22. All the prophecies, all the revelations are complete. So since Scripture is canonized and all of these are complete, Old Testament prophecy has ended. And something new has. Therefore, when we read the word prophet in the New Testament, it is referring to one who proclaims the Scripture, a preacher. So a New Testament prophet is a teacher or preacher of God's Word. Old Testament prophet gave revelation from God. In other words, they foretold something. A pastor today has God's Word, complete Word, whole counsel of God's Word, and they proclaim God's Word, and they foretell God's Word. They don't foretell Him. Listen, if someone is foretelling you something about your life, run. That's demonic. I don't care if they call themselves a prophet. No. Peter tells us about this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, meaning Israel, just as there was also false teachers among you, the church. who was secretly introduced destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Peter is saying, listen, just like there were false prophets, past tense, in the Old Testament, there will be false teachers among the church today, New Testament. So with the full completion of the canonized scripture, there's no new revelation from God. So anytime prophecy in the New Testament is mentioned, it is foretelling, not foretelling. So the gift of prophecy today is speaking God's word. So in the New Testament, when you're reading about prophecy, about a gift of being a prophet of God as one of the spiritual gifts, he's talking about being a proclaimer of God's word, not one who tells secret knowledge. So if someone claims to be a prophet and starts to tell you something revealed to them about you or for you, man, don't believe that. That's a demon speaking. Run. Church is built, it's built on the foundation and the complete revelation upon Christ and God's word. So a false prophet is one who speaks outside of God's word, or he or she who speaks far less than the full counsel of God's word. So we understand this. New Testament, when it says false prophet, he's talking about a false teacher. This is one who does not speak all of God's word or speaks more into God's word than there. Paul addresses this issue for us over in the book of Acts when he's talking to the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He says, therefore, he said, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God's word. Paul says, I gave it all to you. This is it. It's complete. Pay careful attention, Paul says, to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he detained with his own blood, obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves, those false teachers, will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. And listen, if there's anything the church has done today, it's not be alert. Because we allow all sorts of false teachings into our home, into our lives, even into our churches today. Paul is saying, I left nothing out. I've taught you the whole counsel of God's word, so you will know the false prophet by what they leave out. So let's talk about the deception Jesus warned. So we begin to understand a little bit more about a false prophet. What about this deception? What about this sheep's clothing he's talking about? See, it's a common cultural practice in Jesus' day for shepherds and to wear garments made of wool. So shepherds would go out and work out into the fields wearing garments made of wool, sheep's wool. A shepherd would commonly wear his garments made of wool. And Jesus is not saying a false prophet will look like a sheep. No, that's kind of the common thought for today. Jesus is saying a false prophet will come disguised as a shepherd wearing wool. He's saying, listen, if he's coming to you in sheep's clothing, and he's going to look like a shepherd wearing sheep's clothing, he'll be wearing wool, so to speak. He's going to look like the rest of the shepherds. But he's false. He'll look like, sound like, dress like, act like a true shepherd or a true teacher. But man, they're going to be false. We need to know how to identify them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15 says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." How do you know that you're sitting under false teaching? Listen, if you've sat under sermon after sermon after sermon, and the pastor never challenges you with God's word, man, your toes are never stomped on, your heart's never pricked by God's word, the Holy Spirit has never convicted you of things in your life. Man, if you've never been invited to an altar to repent, man, you need to leave. You're sitting under the teaching of a false teacher. Because God's word is always, always pricking our heart. It's always making us uncomfortable. If there's anything, listen, this pastor gets uncomfortable reading God's word. Why? Because I realize I don't have it all together. I realize I haven't arrived yet. And I know if I haven't arrived yet, you haven't either. You see, we're still works in progress. Man, you're sitting under a false teacher who is not concerned about the destiny of your soul if God's word doesn't hurt a little bit, make us uncomfortable. Yeah, there are times we need encouragement. There are times we need comforting from things going in our life. But man, God's word is always about us having a clean heart, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, getting the sin out. Because in this life, in this culture that we live every day, we're faced with temptations and we don't always mess up. We don't always get it right. There are times that we fall into those temptations. No. We don't try to avoid the difficult things. See, God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit points out the roots of that sin in our own life. And man, for us to humbly repent and to surrender to Him, and we do not avoid those difficult things. Man, we understand that God is trying to make us more like His Son, Jesus. We need to be cleansed. We need to be sanctified. Peter tells the church over about false teachers and how they deceive many in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. He says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as the false prophets come among you, or false teachers come among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them." So Peter tells us how to identify and how they deceive us. How do they deceive us? They secretly introduce things to us that sounds just about right. That secretly introduce over in the Greek means to smuggle alongside. So false teachers smuggle alongside the true doctrine. They smuggle alongside of it a false teaching that sounds more doable, that sounds easier, that eases our conscience a little bit, that makes us feel good about ourselves. So they sidetrack the truth with this easier route. So the false teacher uses Christian terms and Christian vocabulary and Christian phrases and scripture to win the trust of the people. They speak the language. Then they begin to subtly incorporate those false doctrines and false teachings, and they twist verses. And they begin to create beliefs from scripture taken out of context. And they teach others to do the same thing. They struggle in their many deceptions. And this is why Jesus warned to beware. I had a letter on Amy's desk this morning addressed to me. Well, pulled it up. Lady from another state. I don't know. I guess she's just picking out the Baptist. They need to go to school. In other words, they didn't. Their handwriting wasn't that good. But I could make out what they were saying. That we Baptists teach that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And that's not biblical, because Jesus said that you have to be baptized to be saved. Listen, salvation is in Christ alone. We are baptized out of obedience to Christ. Because when we love Christ, we are saved by Christ. We want to be obedient to Christ. But you can't add water to Jesus. There's no saving value in Ville Platte water. Believe me. I'm on Turkey Creek water, and there's no saving value in it either. It's Christ alone. This lady is a heretic because of what she believes and is trying to push off, taking Scripture and twisting it to mean one thing. But it sounds so right. Listen, Jesus said to do those things so we'd be obedient to Him, because He did it. Man, when you're born again, you're saved, you'll want to be baptized. That's just a change that's happened in you. I want to be baptized. Why? Because I'm born again. You don't have to beg anybody to do that. Man, when you're saved and born again, you want to. So how do you spot a false teacher? How do you sift one out? Well, often you can recognize what he is not saying. See, a false teacher will rarely or if ever speak about the holiness of God, the righteousness and justice and wrath of God. They rarely talk about the cross of Christ or the sinfulness of sin and the total depravity of man and the dire need for confession and repentance to Christ. You rarely hear those things, if ever. See, the false teacher keeps in themselves. He just keeps them wrapped up in themselves. The here and now, so they do not see the glory of God. No, they teach that God works for you. They teach that God works for you and that you can have everything you want right now. Man, your best life is right now. Oh, no, it's not. My best life is not right now. My best life is to come. Man, any born-again believer knows that this is not the best life. We're going through life and we want good in this life, and God does bless us, but this ain't the best He's got. This is not the best He has for us. Sorry, Joel. No. Man, if you're listening to teachers and you're reading books that's just focused on right now, that's just keeping you right now in this area, whatever's good for you right now and best for you right now, but it's not keeping you focused toward heaven, oh goodness, that's false teaching. Because it's not keeping you focused toward Christ and what is to come. It's keeping you focused on this box that you're living in right now. This short little journey that you're on. You see, over in verse 16 through verse 20, Jesus tells us about the good fruit. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the bushes, from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you would know them by their fruit. So Jesus tells us about the good fruit and the bad fruit. And listen, he repeats it several times in different ways over the next few verses. So we must see this in the text. And it's something beyond is a beyond a person's personality of being a good person or a nice person or a kind person, that natural demeanor that they may have been born with, or their goodwill and their willingness to work for others. Good fruit goes further than that, and bad fruit goes further than that. See, even lost people can be compassionate toward one another and can be benevolent to others. Even people who don't even believe in God can have compassion for their fellow human being. So what is the fruit he's talking about here? So there's three discernible fruits of a false teacher. The first one is their creed, that they're either, you know, they're either teaching and preaching something that is either false or incomplete. Next is their character. A person can fake a good character for a while. Anybody can be nice for a while. Anybody can act real holy for a while until the pressure comes on or something hits them and they snap or they walk away. So they can fake it, but they never make it. And the third thing is they're converts. So it's a creed, a character, and a convert. What about their converts? So Jesus tells us of a tree. It's known by its fruit. And we're warned not to get close to a false teacher. Do not listen to them, read their writings, purchase their materials, hang out with their music. Stay away from them. Why? Because you do not realize intense evil power that's holding up their messages. You see, a false teacher who subtly puts all these false teachings alongside the real thing and then leads you away from the real thing into the thing that's more comfortable, more doable. They lead you away from that. And it's all based and powered by Satan. You see, it's not just that person. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We need to begin to understand what's power in these guys' message. How can you have 50, 60,000 people following you? It's not because that guy smells good. No. There's a power further on that's empowering that message. So their message is empowered by Satan, demons. And listen, people's immature faith or just that they're illiterate of God's word. See, the way false teachers lure you is by flattery and telling you what you want to hear, to feel better about yourself, to fill you with your own self-absorbed glory. Man, don't you like hanging out with positive people who make you feel good about yourself? Well, think about it, if that's all you had at church. If you never came to church and God's word never penetrated you, but it was all about just how good of people you are, man, we'll all make it, we'll all be good, we'll be okay, you know, just send me your money. And that's really what they're doing. You can be blessed like I'm blessed. You know how they're blessed? Because you keep giving them your money. Arthur Pink, great theologian, said this about false teachers. He said that their disciples are egotistical themselves. Man, they're proud without knowledge and boastful of their understanding, claiming to have light, which the Orthodox Christian does not. But their walk betrays them. There's no traces of humility, no mourning over sin, no experimental acquaintances with the plagues of their heart. They have much to say about their peace and their joy, but they're strangers to the groanings of Romans 7. Refusing to examine their hearts to see if they're even in the faith. Sin is not a big issue to false teachers. Here's some practical things I want to give you real quickly. Practical things to identify a false teacher. you might need to write fast. First one is this. They smuggle partial truths into their teaching. Partial truths. 2 Peter 2. They despise the lordship of Jesus and the authority of Scripture. Jude 1, verse 4. They minimize doctrine but emphasize personal experiences. That's 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. They claim to have special revelation. 1 Timothy 6, 20. I've ran into some of those who want to give me some word here or there and special revelation that God gave only to them but never gave to me. The fifth one. They do not or rarely teach on sin and repentance and the depravity of man or the holiness of God. 2 Peter chapter 2. They're focused on broadening the way to salvation. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. They disproportionately have emphasis on the Holy Spirit to the exclusion of Christ. John 16, verse 13 and 14. They promote the chastening of signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. They claim to teach you spiritual gifts like tongues and healing. Listen, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but also believe that you can't teach anybody that. Why? It's a gift of the Spirit. You can't. There's no holiness school for you to go to learn how to speak in tongues. Or learn how to heal others. Not unless it's medical school. No, spiritual giftedness is a spiritual gift. They focus much attention on new believers or those who are not well educated in God's Word. They embolden the individual's spiritualism or power rather than Jesus. If you believe it, you can achieve it. No. I've been believing I want to be 6 feet tall and I hadn't achieved it yet. No. And their teachings, listen, are never grounded on biblical exposition of God's Word. And that's what we're doing when we're walking through God's Word verse by verse. That's called expository preaching. We're going through and pulling it apart. Why? For our growth. For us to get the truth of God's Word. Not some little canned up message here so we can feel good about it. No. Man, we have to face the hard truth of God's Word. False teachers don't do that. And they seek to appeal to the emotions of the heart rather than the minds and reasons. Matthew 22, verse 37. Listen, these guys have no business being pastors. And one of them's even called America's pastor. How sickening is that? But when you look at the condition of America, it's probably about right. False teachers. Man. They basically do two things through their teaching. Without hurry. They exchange the glory of God for the glory of man. And they exchange the eternal for the temporary, the here and the now. That's the basic two things that you'll hear in their messages. When you hear their message, are they exchanging the glory of God for the glory of man? And are they so focused in all the things that they're saying on what you're going through and right now in your life as compared to the eternal things? Man, I would rather you have eternal rewards that you get to celebrate for all eternity with your Savior, Jesus Christ, than for you to have a world of wealth here. We must beware. Because even true Christians can get influenced by these false teachers. We tolerate far too much than we really care to admit. If you find yourself, listen, hung up with false teachers and false doctrines, man, you're on the broad way, not the narrow way. Leave and come to Christ Jesus alone. Leave. The broad way is filled with false teachers who use words and terms and phrases that sound so true, but they're not. They are manipulating and playing on your emotions, and they have you chasing after experiences and encouraging individual quote, you know, individualism and man, just seeking after motivational quotes and speakers rather than somebody who's just going to take God's word and be honest with you. And where it hurts, it hurts. Where it heals, it heals. Where it encourages, it encourages. But man, not pulling it out and twisting it for this religious narrative they're trying to feed people. Man, it's Christ. Christ alone. Man, enter the narrow gate. Quiet your restless soul and let God grow you. Today the Holy Spirit is urging you. God's Word is warning you. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Savior, is calling you, Jesus Christ, to salvation. Through the narrow way that leads home and to heaven. Because you see, Jesus also gives us a warning, verse 19. What happens to those on the broad way? He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit cuts down and is thrown into the fire. You know what the scary part about that is? Let's just be honest. There are a lot of good-meaning, well-intentioned, yet naive people who are on the broad way who think heaven is their home, but they've never came to Christ and based their salvation in Christ alone. They've never entered the narrow way. They're still on the broad way, just hodgepodging through religion, feeling good, listen to religious things here or there. And they really believe heaven will be their home. But they miss Jesus all the way. Oh, Jesus is just sprinkled in somewhere. But salvation is not in Christ and Christ alone. And when you start telling people, hey, it's only in Christ that you're saved, all this other religious stuff you're doing is useless if you miss Christ. People get mad because they don't like to hear that. They get mad because, what do you mean? I'm not good. It's not about you being good. It's about, are you in Christ? Because Jesus says the broad way has many. And many are on that way to destruction. Playing religion with their false teachers and their false preachers. And it all looks so good. And Jesus is calling us. From the narrow way, says, over here, guys. It's over here. Leave that stuff alone. It's not real. Are you in Christ today? Are you in Him? And do you base your salvation in Him alone? Or are you just playing religion, man? The saddest thing to do. It's to be a religious person, to be a good Baptist person, to be a good Catholic, to be a good Pentecost, to be a good Presbyterian, and stand before Christ and Him say, I never knew you. Because you did all the religious things, but man, you just plain old missed Jesus. Just missed Him. Because you fell into teaching that told you salvation is this way. Or that way. And Jesus says it's through Him and Him alone. That's where our salvation is at. Let's pray together. Father God, there are many who are chasing after things. And they're chasing after experiences. They're chasing after better lives. They're chasing after this and chasing after that. But God, so few are chasing after You. Father, I pray that we learn to identify false teaching. Within a few minutes of a person's sermon, of a person's message or teaching, that we begin to identify that this person is not giving us the whole truth. No, God, teach us. When you say beware, Father, you're talking to your people. You're talking to your disciples. You're speaking to us. That we don't get sidetracked. And Lord, bring harm to our own selves. Lord, that we're in your word learning and understanding and growing, depending upon you and you alone for our salvation. Help us even today, Lord. Bring us closer to you. Teach us more about you. Guide us by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.